As most of you know, I usually do what's called an expository sermon. And by that, I mean we take a passage of Scripture and go through it. There are other ways of preaching. Charles Spurgeon would preach on a single verse. That's called textual preaching. And then there is topical preaching, where you take a topic and you talk about a doctrine or a particular theme. I want to do something different today because it's the Lord's Supper. We've been studying the Passion of Christ. So I want to do instead more of a topical sermon. You remember the old Negro spiritual? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And of course, the answer is yes, we were there. So this morning, I want us to look at some of the faces that are standing around the cross. And I want to see if you can pick out your own face. If you can see yourself in one of these people. We won't look at all of them because we want to get to the Lord's Supper. And since Dan has been so convenient as to break the clock, I don't know what time it is. I might end early. So we're just going to take a few faces. The first face I want you to see as we are gathered around the cross is Pilate. Do you see yourself in the face of Pilate? Well, what kind of man is Pilate? Well, there's a lot of things we can say about him, but the text, I think, emphasizes one thing for sure. Pilate is a man that always has his finger in the air. He's always trying to figure out which way political opinion is blowing and goes with it. In fact, he knows in his conscience that Jesus is innocent. He knows from his wife, advice from someone he loves, that Jesus is innocent. He knows by looking at the law, Roman law, that Jesus is innocent. But do you think his knowledge affects his behavior? I've got news for you. Pilate, Judas will tell you, you can know a lot about Jesus and not be born again. Knowledge is important, but knowledge itself is not the determining factor. Pilate knows. But the most important decision in Pilate's life, he leaves to others. What should I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And they say, crucify him. And he sees a riot is about to break out, and he knows his political career is already on the line because of two big mistakes he made. So he goes with the people. Is that true today? Are you one of those people? Oh, you're for Jesus as long as it's popular. I can tell you this without telling tales out of school. There are a lot of preachers that are like Pilate. They wait to see what people want to hear or what is going to be acceptable to their group. Or what the current scholarship says against the Bible. There are lots of Pilates everywhere. They are John Bunyan and Pilgrim's Progress pictures them as people who like religion when it goes in silver slippers and silk stockings, when everything's nice and popular and everybody applauds you for going to church. Yeah, but by the way, have you noticed our society no longer gives you brownie points for going to church? So if you're going to be a pilot, I know where you're going to be today. Or rather, I know where you're not going to be today. You're not going to be here. You're not going to be listening to the word of God being preached. Well, you'll find parties to go to and golf courses to play on and lots of other things to do. And in fact, this is a good day to kind of sleep in and rest. That's the way we think nowadays. We worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. Pilate, do you see your face there? How about Barabbas? Do you see your face when you look at the face of Barabbas? I hope every one of you do. Why? Well, Barabbas is in jail. He's in prison. Barabbas is a bad boy. Insurrection, robbery, murder. Man, the law should throw the book at him, put him in jail, and forget where the key is to his cell. He deserves death. And there's no way he's going to get out of that prison, is he? Except one day at the cell shows up the executioner, and that's all that Barabbas has to look forward to. Do you see yourself as Barabbas? Oh, Lanny, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't caused any insurrection or stole anything. I'm good compared to... No. You're in jail. You know what jail you're in? The prison cell called sin. Romans 3:20, all are under sin. And the preposition there seems to imply they're under the captivity of sin. And by the way, when you're a captive to sin, how are you going to get out? What kind of sentence should those who are in the prison of sin think they should get? The wages of sin is what? Death. You're on death row. So you're much like Barabbas. Well, how does Barabbas get out of jail? How does he avoid the fate of the executioner? You know, in a sense, the guard that came to Barabbas and said, you're not going to be executed. We found someone to take your place. There's a sense in which he was the first evangelist. He gave good news to Barabbas. Why is Barabbas set free? And all of the charges that are against him are dropped. Because Barabbas is the man for whom Christ died, literally. And that's you and me. I hope all of you can identify with Barabbas. And you say, the reason why I'm going to heaven when I die, and why I'm going to be resurrected and be in the kingdom when Christ returns to this earth, is because Jesus Christ died for me. Do you see yourself in the face of Barabbas? Let's move on to another face. We have just a few more. Do you see yourself in the face of Simon of Cyrene? Do you remember him? He is the one that bore Jesus' cross. When Jesus Christ has been condemned, he's been up for 36 hours, he's been beaten. He is one tired, weak man. And so they take the cross beam upon which criminals were to be crucified, and they gave it to Simon to carry. He was compelled Don't know if he volunteered, but he was compelled to carry Jesus' cross for him. Do you see yourself in Simon? And say, well, I don't. Okay. What did Jesus tell his disciples? If any man wishes to be my disciple, he must deny himself and what? Pick up, right, David, pick up his cross and follow me. Do you see yourself as carrying Christ's cross? I mean, does that determine everything you do in life? I do this because I'm related to Jesus Christ, and he's told me that if I want to walk with him, I have to pick up a cross. And your whole life is determined about one thing. Your whole life is, can I bring glory to God for this? You don't live for self anymore. In fact, Simon of Cyrene was visiting. I'm sure this was an imposition to him. It interrupted all his plans. Are you willing, for the sake of carrying Christ's cross, to let your plans be interrupted? If Jesus Christ gets glory, I hope you see yourself in the face of Simon. Yes, Barabbas is a face of a man that is born again. But Simon of Cyrene is the face of a man who takes his discipleship seriously. And he says, I don't own anything. It all belongs to Jesus. My true stewardship is not found on how much I keep for myself. I mean, by how much I give away, but rather how much I keep for myself. That shows how much I love him. Yes. Do you see yourself as a Simon? Next to the last face that I see, you're going to have to look hard to see yourself here. That's the crowd. Do you see yourself in the crowd that is shouting, crucify him? Do you? Now, there may be some pious soul among us who says, not me. Not me. I'm going to be faithful. I wouldn't shout that. No, not for anything in the world. I am better than the apostles. They all forsook him and fled, not me. True, Peter has a loud mouth, and he says he wouldn't and ended up doing it, but not me. I'm not like Peter. May I say, if you're taking that position that you wouldn't be shouting, crucify him in the crowd, may I say, examine your hearts more closely. We have a wonderful capacity to deceive ourselves. In fact, the more holy you become, the more you're going to say, yeah, I'd shout it. If I were standing on this step here, do you think I'm really concerned about this next step? Am I really conscious about it? Not too much, because I know I can take it real easy. But if there's 22 feet between this step and the next step, do you think I'd be a little careful about standing on this step? And if this step were 200 feet in the air, do you think I'd be very conscious of the distance between me and the ground? So it is that the more you advance in holiness, the more you see sin. You become more aware of it. The person who is truly holy says, like Paul, I am the chief of sinners. Paul wrote that in his pastoral epistles. I can't remember now if it's 1 or 2 Timothy, but it's towards the end of his life. By the way, did you notice the tense of the verb? I am the chief of sinners. He doesn't say, I used to be. The more you grow in holiness, the more you see the wickedness of your own heart, the less you trust yourself, and the more you realize you have to rely on God. So the person who says, not me, I wouldn't be shouting, crucify him, I can assure you this is a person that does not know their own heart. They do not understand the sinfulness of sin that still resides in their old nature. They don't get it. And by the way, run away from those kinds of people. They can justify anything in their own hearts. I hope each one of you says, yeah, I'm in the crowd. Not just because you understand the sinfulness of your heart, but here is the irony of the thing. Okay? Now, what I'm going to say to you is going to strike you as being odd, but think about it. Unless you shout, crucify him, you cannot be saved. Did I just make you furrow your brows? What do you mean? Unless Christ dies, you can't be saved. You need him to die. I've said to you before, your greatest need is the death of the Savior. You say, well, wait a second, Lanny, that is unjust. That's sinful to do that. How can I say I'm going to shout, crucify him for an unjust deed because of the benefit? But that's the way we all are. All of us benefit from an unjust deed. If you are saved today, you participate in the glorious results of that unjust deed. Israel was the high priestly nation. What does a priest do? Offer sacrifices. Did they offer a sacrifice on Good Friday? You bet. They offered the greatest sacrifice they could ever do. Did they sin in doing so? Yes. But is God able to bring good out of evil? Yes. In fact, I'm leaning to the opinion that God creating earth and the universe out of nothing is literally nothing compared to him bringing good out of evil. Crucify him is, in one sense, your liberation cry. Oh, yeah, the people that are saying it want to get rid of him because they want to be free for themselves. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saying it because you know that your freedom to him comes with this. You need to have him crucified. And that is why once you shout, crucify him, you say, I want to die with him. And his death becomes your death. His resurrection becomes your resurrection, which is symbolized in baptism. Your greatest need is his death. One more face, or in this case, faces, I want you to look at. The two faces, actually. They're on the left and right of Jesus. Now, the text, depending on which of the four Gospels you read, they take a snapshot at a certain time in the event. And one says that both of them reviled him. But we know from another text that at some point, one of them said to me, said to him, "Remember me when you enter your kingdom." You will see your face either under the thief, the criminal that was saved, or the criminal that was condemned. One who came to faith really late, and one didn't. Now, can Jesus Christ save you on your deathbed? How about deathbed repentance? You've ever known those things? I've been there where the person lived an entirely rotten life, and then a pastor, I want to get saved, as they're on their deathbed. And you walk away wondering, I wonder if it's real or not. Well, we have one account in the Bible of a man being saved just before he died in order to give us hope. But we have only one in order to keep us from presumption. And I would say to you, of these two faces, every one of you can see your face on one of those two faces. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper, let me ask you, did you see your face anywhere around the cross? Well, there are other faces, and maybe some other time we can trace them. I like the fact that all the men, except maybe John, deserted him, but the women remained faithful to him. We can talk about that some other time. But do you see your face in Pilate? Are you very conscious about the way the wind blows, and what you think about Jesus and what you do with Jesus is determined by what the neighbors you like and the company you keep think about him? Do you see yourself in the face of Barabbas, someone who deserves to be executed, but is delivered from prison because someone died in your place? Do you see yourself as Simon of Cyrene, faithfully carrying Christ's cross throughout life? Good disciple. Do you see yourself in the crowd shouting, "Let him be crucified"? Do you see your face in one of the criminals' faces? The one that believed and the one that was condemned. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, we were all there. All of us are standing around the cross. It is the most pivotal event in human history, that with the resurrection verifying it. The resurrection, of course, you can say the resurrection is equally important, and the gospel is based on those two facts. Christ died for your sins and rose, those two facts. But there's a sense in which the resurrection validates the crucifixion. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead is because he was innocent. And God reversed in the Supreme Court. He reversed an under lower court's decision about Jesus Christ. Do you see yourself there? Heavenly Father, help us to come to a genuine faith in the Savior. Help us to realize that we are a Barabbas, deserving of death, but because of the death of your Son, we are set free. Help us to see ourselves as Simon of Cyrene and be faithful in carrying your cross, in little things and big things. We don't care what the cost is. We don't sit down and calculate it, because if we think we we don't obey you because of some other thing. That other thing is more important than you, and it becomes an idol. Help us to be willing to bear the scorn of the world, the inconvenience, the pain of carrying the cross. Help us to realize that we are in the crowd, and that while we realize it is a sin and unjust to say, crucify the Holy One of Israel, it is our liberation cry, because by his death we are free. And help us to see ourselves as the criminal that says to the Savior, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Father, help us to live holy lives. And as we approach your table, may we do so with contrition, with confession of sin, and with repentance, so that we can leave the table with joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.